بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue the discussion on the three principles, three fundamental principles of Islam. So the author رحمه الله said, فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكَ مَنْ رَبُّكَ. So if it is said to you, who is your Lord? فَقُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي رَبَّانِي وَرَبَّ جَمِيعِ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنِعْمَتِهِ. Then say, my Lord is Allah who has nurtured me and all of creation with His favors and blessings. This is in continuation of his earlier statements, meaning, if Allah is the one who nourished me and all of the creation, then this entails that He is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. That's why the author immediately said after this statement, وَهُوَ مَعْبُودِي لَيْسَ لِي مَعْبُودٌ سِوَاهُ. He is the one whom I worship, and there is no other whom I worship besides Him. Because the one who deserves to be worshipped is the one who is able to create. And the one who does not or is not able to create does not deserve to be worshipped. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some of the qualities of the gods that don't deserve to be worshipped in Surah Al-Furqan, he mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan the following regarding them in Surah Al-Furqan chapter 25 verse 3. قال الله تعالى concerning these gods, quote end of quote, واتخذوا من دونه آلهة لا يخلقون شيئا وهم يخلقون. واتخذوا من دونه آلهة لا يخلقون شيئا وهم يخلقون. Yet they have taken besides him other gods, look what did he say, that created nothing. See, this was the criteria, that created nothing but are themselves created. ولا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. And they possess neither hurt nor benefit for themselves, and possess no power of causing death, nor of giving life, nor of raising the dead. So here Allah described them with seven qualities. All are defective qualities, imperfect. Meaning that these qualities present in these gods are not fit to make them qualified to be worshipped. Because the one who creates and provides and who causes death and brings life is the one who deserves to be worshipped. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf in chapter 7 verse 191, he said, أَيُشْرِكُونَ, listen to this carefully, أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. In Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 191. Do they attribute as partners to Allah those who created nothing? I want you to contemplate this deeply. Do they attribute as partners to Allah those who created nothing, but they themselves are created? The author in this statement used the word رَبَّانِي وَرَبَّ جَمِيعِ الْعَالَمِينَ. رَبَّانِي, it comes from تَرْبِيَة, which means to make or to take care of that which is necessary for the development of the one being raised. is to take care of someone being raised. This is called tarbiyah. And this indicates that the title Ar-Rabb, the Lord, is derived from the word tarbiyah. Is derived from the word tarbiyah. To nurture. Because the author said, who has nurtured me and all of the creation with his favors and blessings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures all of the creation with his favors and blessings and has prepared them for that for which they were created. And he supported them with all of their needs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Took care of them. Nourished them. Listen, in this respect, what took place between Moses, alayhi salatu wassalam, and Fir'aun, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Surah Taha, chapter 20, verses 49 to 50. On the tongue of Pharaoh, in this verse, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. The Pharaoh said, O Musa, who is the Lord of you two? Who is your Rabb, you two? Meaning you, Musa, and your brother Harun. Rabb, your Lord. Listen to the answer of Musa alayhi salam. قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Alhamdulillah. Our Lord is the one who provided a suitable mate for all creatures which he created and then guided them to everything they need with regard to procreation, food, drink, and habitation. Our Lord, he gave to each thing its form and its nature, then guided it aright. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtured and provided for all the creation with his blessings. And these are innumerable, cannot be counted. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed this in Surah Ibrahim, in chapter 14, verse 34, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. And if you were trying to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to. So Allah created, prepared, supported, provided the needs. So He alone deserves worship. So He alone deserves worship. And that's why the author said in the next statement, as we said before, وَهُوَ مَعْبُودِي لَيْسَ لِي مَعْبُودٌ سِوَى. He is the one whom I worship, and there is no other whom I worship besides Him. I humble myself and I submit to Him in love and reverence. These are two important matters. We worship Allah out of love, magnification, and reverence. So we do what He commands and we abandon whatever He forbids. And this is what is required from creation. And this is the task carried by the messengers to deliver to the creation, calling them to worship none but Allah. In this we remember the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya 21, verse 25, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. We did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that we reveal to him that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, so make all your worship purely. Worship me alone. This is what we are commanded. Also in Surah Al-Bayyinah we read this, 98 verse 5. قال الله تعالى وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. And they were not commanded except that they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone and perform as-salah and give zakah, and that is the right and upright religion. Then the author gives the proof for his statement which we mentioned earlier. What was his statement? His statement is, or was, so if it is said to you, who is your Lord? Then say, my Lord is Allah, who has nourished me and all of the creation with his favors and blessings. He is the one whom I worship, and there is no other whom I worship beside him. These were the words of the author. Then the author gave the proofs, and he said, وَالدَّلِيلُ, and the evidence is, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the saying of Allah the Most High, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The first evidence. The proof is the saying of Allah the Most High, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is for Allah, the Lord of all creation. Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. What does the term Alhamd mean? Alhamdulillah. He took this as evidence for what he said. What is the meaning of Alhamd? It means that Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High, deserves all the praise. All praise is for Him. Meaning that description with the attributes of perfection, majesty and greatness are only for Allah, the Most High, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all creation. The Lord of all creation. So why we say here, Alhamd means attesting the perfect attributes belonging to Allah with love and reverence and magnification, and this is an important foundation. Why we say this? Because if someone attests and gives praise to Allah without love and without magnification, then in this case he is not praising Allah. This is the first term, Alhamdulillahi. Then, Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of all creation. Meaning that He is the one who nurtured and sustained them with His blessings, and that He is their creator and their owner and sovereign Lord. And that He is the one who controls their affairs as He the mighty and majestic wishes. This is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 54, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. To Him belongs the creation and the commandment. طيب. The author, rahimahullah, said, والدليل, the evidence is, the saying of Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all creation. Then he mentioned after this, وَكُلُّ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ عَالَمٌ, and everything besides Allah is عالم. What does it mean, عالم? Meaning it is a created being. عالم means a created being. وَكُلُّ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ عَالَمٌ, meaning created. It is so called عَالَمٌ in the Arabic because they are sign for their creator. Sign. عَالَمٌ, it means that by which something is known, a sign. They are so called عَالَمٌ because they are a sign for their creator.
So everything contains a sign showing that Allah is one. Then he said, وَأَنَا وَاحِدٌ مِّن ذَلِكَ الْعَالَمِ, and I am one of the creation. And my Lord has made it obligatory upon me that I should worship Him alone, since I am one of His creation. So, فَأَنَا مَرْبُوبٌ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى, I am a creation belonging to Allah, because He is my Lord. I am created being. He is the one who nourished me and provided to me all that I need. So this is the evidence. The evidence is one single verse from Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is the evidence for what? That Allah is the one who has nourished me and all creation with His favors and blessings. And by this, on its own, this means that He deserves that I worship Him alone. Then the author, rahimahullah, went to say in the form of a question and answer, and this is a very beneficial methodology of teaching and asserting knowledge. He said, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكْ, if it is said to you, بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكْ, how did you arrive at this knowledge of knowing your Lord? Then say, فَقُلْ بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُوقَاتِهِ, through His signs and those things which He has created. Then the author will go about mentioning some of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. But listen to the way. In the very beginning, he asserted the matter that Allah is the one who creates and who nourishes and who provides and sustains and controls the affairs. Then he comes with the other question, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ, if it is said to you, how did you arrive at this knowledge of your Lord? Then say, through His signs and those things which He has created. This is the second question after the first question, which was, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Here is the question in the form, بِمَا اسْتَدْلَلْتَ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ رَبِّكَ, what was the evidence that you utilized to know of your Lord? Then say, بِآيَاتِهِ وَمَخْلُوقَاتِهِ, through His signs of and those things which He has created. This is the evidence that He is my creator and the one sustainer and the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. Linguistically, the meaning of ayah, because he said here, ayatihi, plural of ayah, signs, ayat, plural of ayah. These are things which indicate something and make it clear. This is the meaning. Linguistically, it has even many meanings. Actually, ma'anin kathira, minha al-burhan, the evidence, the proof. Okay, alhamdulillah. And the evidence. Here we need to know that the ayat, the signs of Allah, and the evidences of Allah are of two types. Are of two types. This is very important matter. First are the legal signs. In Arabic, they are referred to as al-ayat al-shar'iyya. Ayat, plural of ayah. Al-shar'iyya means legal, textual. This refers to the revelation brought forth by the messengers. These are from the signs of Allah. These are al-ayat al-shar'iyya. Listen, please carefully to the pronunciation. الآيات الشرعية. Legal, textual, referring to the revelation brought forth by the messengers. قال الله تعالى, in this respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid verse 9, chapter 57 verse 9, قال الله تعالى, هو الذي ينزل على عبده آيات بينات. هو الذي ينزل على عبده آيات بينات. It is he, Allah, who sends down manifest آيات to his slave Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now if someone asks the question, how this revelation is taken as a proof and evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true Lord? The answer is, number one, this revelation brought forth by the messengers came complete and perfect and ordered without any kind of contradiction or defect whatsoever. In fact, Allah states this clearly in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 82. قال الله تعالى, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not then consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein much contradictions and incongruity. So the Quran, the noble and glorious Quran, is evidence on the existence of Allah, the most magnificent, and this is from the legal signs, the signs of revelation. Second proof, that these legal signs brought forth what is beneficial and is concerned with what is beneficial to man and to the creation, and it is sufficient for their happiness in this life, in their religion, in their deen, and in their life. The most clear example is the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us in the revelation, the Quran, and on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all that which is sufficient for our benefits. There is no single problem or issue except that there is a solution for it, whether this comes through the general proofs or through the particular proofs. This is the answer for the fact that the legal signs are signs for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true Lord who deserves to be worshipped alone. This is from the legal side only, from the textual proofs, meaning from the revelation. Now, what about the other type of signs? The second type is the al-ayatul kawniyya. الآيات الكونية, the universal signs, and this pertains to المخلوقات, what's created, all the creation, like the heavens, the earth, man, animals, plants, and so forth. The author, rahimahullah, said when he answered the question, how did you arrive at this knowledge of your Lord? He said to say, فَقُلْ, through his signs and through things which he has created. He used the term through his signs, and this covers both the textual and the legal. The signs, both textual and legal, contain tremendous things which are wondrous, or which are wondrous creations and clear proofs as well of perfect wisdom. And as the poet put it, and in everything there is a sign for him proving that he is one. And in everything there is a sign for him proving that he is one. Then the author, rahimahullah, begins to mention some of the signs in the creation, from that the night and the day, the sun and the moon, and from that which he has created are the heaven, the seven heavens and the seven earths and those within them and whatever is between them. This we will be discussing inshallah ta'ala in the next discussion. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.